Amen. It's good to be here this morning. It's good to see everyone this morning. And you know what? We have had a video just prepared for this morning to watch. And but Luke, we're not going to watch it. And like I came in to prepare just to look at the movie like everyone else or someone else preaching. But I just felt God put something on my heart while we were worshiping. So you have an unscripted, unprepared message, but it's in God, we'll have something, yeah? And but just before that, let's just want to thank everyone for the contribution towards the great big giveaway, and we'll have a video for next week of Bob says to me when he made the video, there wasn't a whole lot to work with because we don't take pictures of people that come to us, even though this place was full up with like probably 300 people came through, got served tea, coffee, got loved on, got prayed with, got led to Jesus, you name it, it all happened in this room and in the other locations as well. And it's just a privilege to see people being served in that way and in such an honor. And I just want to say thank you to everybody that contributed in every way, because the Great Big Giveaway just doesn't happen on the morning of the Great Big Giveaway. There's like 6 to 8 weeks, even a year. We started, some of the girls, Sandy and Suzanne, I don't think they're here, but they started last April contacting businesses and all the stuff that goes on with it, to emptying bins and putting boxes in recycling places, to getting vans, to driving vans, to packing hampers, to getting the spuds, you name it, to packing the spuds, to bringing them from one place to another. There's a whole lot. That means there's a whole lot of people. To the contributions, we reckon it does about 40 or 50,000 euro would have filled when go from this place called Liberty. That is amazing. That is amazing. We pray for money to pay the mortgage next month, but 50,000 would have filled went down. If we were a selling point, if we were sellers of something, we'd be rich. But we are just so grateful. And you know what? We don't owe one dime to nobody for that food. God has paid in full. Slap bang, all gone. And God is good, and God is always good. Look after the widows and orphans. I'm telling you, he has a special bank account that just comes. He says, no, look, you look after them, I'll make sure out of that account you will be well looked after. And you will. This is what the scripture says, that giving to the needy is like lending to the Lord. Giving to the needy is like lending to the Lord. So expect your return. God will take a lend and not pay it back. God, when he gives something to God, he doesn't only pay it back the way you gave it. He pays it back in multiple deposits into your life, into your account. So look out for it. Will you receive it? Okay, here we go. Father, I just release your blessing. As your people give, Jesus, you said it, give and will be given unto. And Lord, we give with all of our hearts, Lord. Joyfully, gladly, Lord, we give to serve our city. And Lord, I just say over your people, whether they're here or not here, Lord, we just receive back from you, Lord. Tenfold, twentyfold, even hundredfold in the name of Jesus, Father. So that we can be a blessing. We can be a blessing back onto the city again and to each other in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Having the boys over and the guys over from Belarus, is like we've Ed and Dennis, and it's been a thrill. And we've the highlight of it was we're walking out of the Bray great big giveaway, going to the car park to put money in the car before we went to get something to eat, a gang of us. And we looked back and there was a man begging, and Ed and Dennis went back with the little money that they have in their pocket and gave it to the man, the homeless man. And I was like, guys, they're getting it. Our kids from Belarus are not just coming to take, but they're getting it, they're giving. They're giving what's been given unto them. And what they do is what you've represented, Pauline, Mick, Stephen, Niamh, they're learning. No, it's not just about me. They're breaking out of orphan mentality. They're breaking out of that. They're like, no, it's about other people as well. And like, and that's just, I just think we've made them rich by doing that for them. And I remember Loshi, like Pauline, and you don't remember ever I've told you the story. Loshi was in my team. The first time he came to the orphanage, he was in my team, and the boxes came around. And we went up and we had 7 boxes. Now imagine, these boxes came out of tens of thousands of boxes. And then these boxes landed in our place where we had the kids on it out in Belarus. And so say another 50 boxes came. And then out of those 50 boxes, I got 7 boxes to bring up to our room where Al and Ken Kerrigan was waiting up to bring up the boxes. 2 days prior to that, I seen Losha taking up his shoes, and putting his shoes on, and he had no socks. And he pulled his old long johns out of his shoes and put his feet in. And I was so moved. This kid had no to cover his feet and then put his feet into the shoes. And so I went over to where our place where we were sleeping, and I got a pair of socks, and I just put them on his locker that was in the place so it wouldn't embarrass him. And 2 days later, the socks were still there. I couldn't get over why he didn't put them on him. Maybe he was freezing. And they told me that, like, that the kids, like, most of them, like, because of the communist background, they won't do unless they're told what to do. So I should have said to him, they are for you. But because I didn't say that, they were left there. And I kid you not, I bring up these boxes, right, put them down. So Al are randomly handing them around. And the first thing I heard was Elosha screaming with two pairs of socks in his hands. You think God knew, wouldn't you? You think God knew that some kid on the other side of the world was going to get a box out, tens of thousands out of the seven that was brought to air, that the one kid that had no socks picked up two pairs of socks. And that's how much God cares about these guys. Just the detail to them. And not only these guys, but to us. Because we're all orphans. Adam and Eve, our mom and dad, we were living in paradise, or we would have been, but they failed. And then we all got put into the orphanage called this world. And the father of this orphanage, that's what Jesus calls the devil, he's the father of this world. He's cruel. He hates us. He doesn't want to see us make it in this world. Then Jesus comes, and Jesus says, I'm the way. I'm the way what? I'm the way out of the orphanage back to the Father. Jesus actually says he's more than the way. You know what he says in John? He says, I'm the door. Do you ever make sense of that? I'm the door. It's a funny thing to call yourself. He says, I'm the door. I'm the way back to original intention. I'm the way back to a father who's caring. And it's their job as orphans who've come out of the orphanage to go and tell the rest of the kids that's in the orphanage out there that there's a way back to a father who cares, who loves us and protects us. That's our job. Our job is not to be. If we understand really how bankrupt we were before we came to know Jesus, I'm telling you, we wouldn't have no embarrassment telling the ones that are bankrupt where to find the riches. Hungry people, if we knew how hungry we were, we'd have no problem telling those out there who are starving, I know where to find bread. The real bread. The true bread. So he loves us as well. But here's what I feel the Lord gave me. I'm going to read the scripture. Believe me, forgive me if it's a bit long. But it's found in 1 Kings 19. We probably know the story. But Elijah had just gone up to Mount Carmel and he'd taken on the prophets of Baal who were ruling the spiritual climate of Israel. And they were not only ruling it, but ruining it. And then because whoever dominates the spiritual atmosphere will dominate what goes on in the nation and in the city. And the astropoles that were to another god, the altars to Baal, who was another god, they were on the landscape of all the hills. They were what was ruling on the hills. And that's where sacrifice was being made. And God spoke to Elijah to sort some of it out. So he says, I want you to go up there and take them on. And we know God said this because when Elijah prayed his great prayer about the fire coming down, he says, God, do what you told me you would do. So Elijah wasn't going up there like some spiritual cowboy going, I'm going to clear out the heavenlies. And God didn't speak it. That's not the way you deal with the things of the spiritual realm. You do what God tells you to do. And he says, God told me to do this. And you know the story that they put the bulls on the altars, the prophets of the false god. And he says, whoever comes with fire, wherever God comes with fire is the real God. So the story was, they done all that, no fire came. Elijah puts 12 stones, builds an altar with 12 stones. And he says, God, do what you said you would do, bring fire. And fire comes, and God sorts out all the prophets of Baal. So it was a great victory, would you admit that? So here's the aftermath of that victory. A tremendous stance for the things of God, a tremendous spiritual victory. And here's what happens. Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword, the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods, not God, not Yahweh, not the God who made the heavens and earth, the gods that she worshipped, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them. Elijah means she's going to kill him like he killed the prophets. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. And while he himself went on a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush, sat under it and prayed. He prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord. I said, I've never been there. I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. I've not been quite there. I am no better than any of my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around and there by his head was some baked bread over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here? The Lord said. He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, which wasn't true. And now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then the voice of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah said, I've been zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, tore down your altars and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the Lord, I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me. The Lord said to him, go back the way you came, go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king of Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nishi, king over Israel. And anoint Elijah to succeed you as a prophet. And then he said, Jehu will put to death any who escape from the sword of Hazael, and Elijah will put to death those who escape the sword of Jezreel. And he said, I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, whose knees have not bowed to Baal, whose mouths have not kissed him. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, and he made him his successor. It's a lot of reading. I hope you could keep up with it. But so Elijah had this great victory. There's a threat on his life. And this is where I just feel God wants to say to us, that going into this year, he wants us to declutter our lives from last year. He wants us to declutter our thinking. He wants us to declutter our way of acting, our way of perceiving who he is based on the stuff of last year, the good, the bad, and the indifferent, because there's new things. There's greater things. That if we hold on to the old, we have no hands free to receive the new. But we're going to have to go about receiving new. So Elijah had a victory. Elijah had a great victory in his life. And then a threat came to him. And the threat was that Jezebel was going to kill him. Now his mind becomes cluttered with all the things that fear brings into it. So it wasn't the victory that was cluttering his mind, because even a victory can blind us to the next victory. That's why we can have to even declutter. We thank God for the victories, but we have to declutter, because the way God wants us to get the next victory mightn't look like anything like the last victory. When Joshua went in to take Jericho, God said to him, walk around 7 times, you remember? When they go to take Ai, the next city, it was a whole different strategy. And if they would walk around Ai, which they didn't have the victory in Ai the first time, until he went back to the Lord and says, Lord, they had to declutter from the last victory to say, Lord, what's your assignment for this one? What way are we going to do this? And Elijah wasn't caught up in the victory of Mount Carmel, but he was caught up in the threats. There was a spiritual hit put out on him. And this made him start to think a certain way, like this, I'm giving up. Like even now, Jezebel is after me, going to kill me. Look, listen to what he said, Lord, I've had enough. I've had enough. Like his mind became so cluttered with the fears, with the disappointment. I thought, Lord, when I got this victory, I probably would have gone on to being like nationally known or become the best prophet in town. But instead, here I am feeling so down, so disappointed, so fearful that I want to die. And Elisha knew what answered prayers were. And I believe when Elisha was saying, I want to die, because he prayed to God to take him, I believe he wanted that. I believe it wasn't like, you know, a self-pity prayers. He was like, because he knew God could take him in an instant. And he prayed, and his mind got cluttered up with stuff, disappointment, let down. That, like, whatever this year's brought us in, whether it's victory or disappointments or failures, we have to declutter our mind. Because I tell you what happens when we do this. And look, I'm preaching to myself here. I didn't prepare this message. God has something. Because when we allow fear or anxiety to get in, it builds a culture in our thinking. We start thinking a whole different way. We start looking a different way. We start praying a different way. Just listen to your prayers over the last couple of weeks and it will determine what we need to declutter. Because fear of how will God provide for us. Fear of how will God protect me. Fear of how will God bring me through. And our prayers are no longer ones of faith that God will do this, that God is great. Our prayers become fearful and tampered by the culture of fear that sets around in our thinking. But we need to declutter. We need to take the fearful prayers out. We need to take the things that rob our faith out and say, no, I'm with God. Listen, this is God we're talking about. We're not talking about some Yahoo politician that's making promises. We're talking about God's. We're not talking about someone that can do mighty things every now and then. We're talking about the creator of heaven and earth. And so in this culture of wrong thinking, we have to declutter. No, 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 that's not right. God doesn't love me. That's not right. That's cluttered thinking. I bet you if you go home to all your drawers and all your presses today, you'll see how much clutter is in there. Now, think that's probably the way my mind is and your mind is. How can I think straight, view things straight, when I have to look through all of this stuff? And Elisha was being robbed. And Elisha was being brought down. I just thank God for his grace. That when Elisha lay down, I want to get out of here. I've had enough. I'm dying here. I want to die. God sends him refreshment. God sends him an angel. The angel touches him. Look, I've made some bread for you. I love the way God does that. At times you think, oh Lord, I'm in this on my own. And all the others are bound on knees to Baal. And God just comes and goes, look, I've made you something. And I don't know about for you, but that could be, look, bread and water, it's not like steak dinner. But it was enough. And it might be a steak. You might need a steak dinner. And believe me, God will prepare that. You might need an encouraging word. You might need, you know, someone to come alongside you and put your arm around your shoulder and say, do you know what? You're going to make it through. That's your bit of bread and that's your bit of water. That's your sustenance. That's what's going to keep you going to the next stage of your assignment in God. And he goes on. And in all of this, he went to the cave. Because this journey, listen to what he said. He walked another 40 days and 40 nights. It's a journey. It's not an event. The event kicks us off into the journey or kicks us off into the process. And we can't get cluttered by event after event after event after event. We have to get cluttered and committed to the process that God brings us on. Because if not, an event that is not a good event will throw us here or throw us there. But if an event kicks us off in God's called me, I've stepped out on that call, well, now there's a process. And for him, it was 40 days and 40 nights. It was a process of trusting God, walking with God, allowing God to come, allowing God to encourage him, allowing God to pick him up when he was down, allowing God to, allowing him to experience angelic beings coming to him and cooking for him. I'm like, I bet you that bread tasted heavenly. All right? I bet it was fresh. I bet you it was today's bread today. Come on, it's Christmas. Be cheerful. And he went to Mount Horeb, which was the mountain of God. And God is not in the earthquake, and he's not in the fire. All the things that he had experienced God in before, he was now not experiencing them in the wind. He was now not experiencing them in the fire. He wasn't experiencing them in the earthquake. gentle whisper. And listen to what he did. When Elijah heard the gentle whisper, he went down over his head. What did he do? He cluttered himself. He decluttered himself from his surroundings, from the wind, from the fire, from the earthquake. He's like, no, none of that's going to distract me. None of that. I'm not even going to watch it. I'm not even going to let that be the thing that influences me. The things that surround us, the good, the bad, the ugly, the disappointments, the successes, he didn't care. He goes, this is just between me and God. And if I'm going to hear God, I'm going to just get everyone out of my world. When we were singing that song, Jesus, I'm so in love with you. That's what I felt like. Let's pull that. Oh, just say, Jesus, it's about you. Jesus, it's for you and to you and through you that I can actually do anything. And I don't want to be distracted by what this last year brought to me. I just want to focus on what you're saying to me, because what Elijah received was his next assignment. That's what he received, to go and to install the next prophet in the nation and the two kings of the two parts of Israel. He was the northern and the southern rulers of Israel. He says, I'm going to, now that you've heard me, I'm going to tell you what the next part of your assignment is. But when we're cluttered with stuff, we don't hear God's next part of the assignments. Now, he will strengthen us. He will speak to us. He will get our attention through earth, wind, and fire. But that's all designed so that we will just come alongside and go, I'm pulling the cover over my head. But what's that you want to say to me? To me. When we're singing that song, Jesus, I'm in love with you. There's no one else for me. I was thinking that we can be in love with the body of Christ. We can be in love with one another, and we should be. But not at the expense of hearing from him. Not at the expense of hearing from the king. Not at the expense of hearing from the head of the body. Because when we look to the body, us, I can give you a wrong word. I can give you a wrong assignment, a misassignment. Or no assignments. And we can go, oh no, the body let me down, the church. Every people, the church let me down. We can't be so in love with the church that the body is directing. The head directs. The head gives the assignments. The head watches, the head speaks. My foot doesn't speak to anybody. Although sometimes I wish it could. It's the mouth that speaks, isn't it? It's the mouth. So we look to one another for stuff that we can't give to one another. We can't give divine direction if we're not the head. And I think people get so caught up and cluttered with the body that we're forgetting that there's a head of the body, which is Jesus. And that's what Elijah's doing. I don't care about my surroundings. I'm coming in just to meet with him. And God wants to meet with him. No matter where we're at in him, he wants to meet us. But if I'm allowing my mind to be cluttered with shame, guilt, condemnation, fears, disappointments, even when he speaks to me, I'm hearing him through those filters. Even when he's speaking, I'm hearing it through. He's now become, where he was a loving God when I wasn't cluttered up, now he sounds like an angry God. Because it's coming through condemnation filters. You know, get it out. There's no condemnation. I'm not saying there's no feelings of guilt or shame or feelings even of condemnation. But Paul says, that's your own heart condemning you. But he's greater than their hearts. So we have to go, no, I don't care how I feel. I'm just going to be with the head. Never allow Jesus' sacrifice to be in vain. We're not going to the Father. I told you this many times. I'm 25 years a Christian, going into my 26th year. Who's longer in the Lord than I put up your hands? You're more than 25 years. Come on. You will see this 4 or 5 hands, so we're pretty young and generation as Christians. But you tell me this, do you not need Jesus more today than you did last year? You think, no, this somehow you go, man, as you grow in God, you just learn your dependency is more on him. You depend on his goodness. You depend on his mercy. You depend on his forgiveness. Even more than when you were younger. It's just this crazy, brilliant relationship the more you know him, the more you go, I'm just totally dependent on you. I would need you more than ever. And he wants to bring us into that place of just hearing his voice. Why? Because for Elijah, the assignment was the next step that he heard from God. And we need to just pull it out. You've been disappointment this year. I don't know who sings this song. I hope it's not a bad song. I sing some songs I hear on the radio, and the girls go to me, that's not a good song, no. Oh, that's all right. Well, I can't get the tune out of my head. Do you know what I mean? It's like you're probably going to sing it around all the other pastors, and they're all going, oh. That's the way it works. Tell me if this is a good song. Shake It Off. Taylor Swift. Thank you, Jesus. We got the Shake It Off. Shake It Off. We got to shake off last year. We got to shake off disappointments. We got to shake off what other people have said, what people have failed to say. To shake it off of us, we need to declutter. No matter what it is, and all you don't know what my cluttering has been. I know I don't. That's the beauty of this. This is not a prepared message. This is not something I could sit down and have thought through. But God knows what you've been through. God knows what this year has brought for you. And he's still saying to us, he wouldn't have given me this declutter. And when, you know what the confirmation was with that song? I says, Lord, confirm it to me, because it's easy for me to sit back and watch Craig Rochelle preach. And he sang that song, there's nothing I hold on to. That's decluttering. There's nothing I hold on to. What do we have to do? I can't lean on my own understanding. I have to trust God with this. I have to trust God to let go. That letting go might be letting go a loved one. Letting go an old ministry. That might be letting go like something that we hold dear in our minds. But yeah, we celebrate it, we love it, because, and say, God, what is the next assignment for me as a believer? And that we allow him to push us into this year coming. I don't think you'll ever have heard me speak a New Year's Eve or New Year's message. Certain things are just doesn't compute. But this is one. Declutter. Shake it off. So I'm going to get all the others up to do that dance. I don't know. Do you know what you need to shake off? Put up your hand if you know. Just right now, I know I need to shake off. Okay. And we're trusting God with what we need to shake off. You know the story? I'm making it up now, but I can't remember the exact details. The man was going to bury his donkey. And he put him in the pit, you know it? And he put the sand in. And it ends up the donkey rises to the top of the pit. And the donkey's standing there. He didn't know how he done it. He found out eventually how he done it. Every time he threw some sand in, it was on the donkey's back, and he went like that. Shook her off, and then he stood on it. And he threw more and shook her off, and all the world was building up, till he got out of the pit. He was like, shake it off. That sounds like a chicken. That feels like a chicken. Maybe it was a chicken that was in the pit. So I didn't get the... I need to, you know what? I know it was disappointing. I know someone's trying to bury me. I'm shaking it off. I'm going to make that my platform. I'm shaking it off till I rise up to where I'm supposed to be in God. No matter what they say, I'm shaking it off. Listen, we've all had, I want to tell you, this has been a tough year for us as Liberty. I kid you not, guys. I'm so glad for people who stick around. There's always going to be a battle. You're always going to take a few punches. Like, we just felt like Mike Tyson was in the ring with us a couple of times this year. And then, boom, boom, we didn't know whether we were coming or going as elders. Lord, will you just bring us through? Lord, will you help us through this? Lost good people along the way. And we're like, how are we going to make it through and whatever? You know what we've decided? Is shaking it off. We're just going to stand on it. We're going to go up a few levels. We're going to look into the future. We're going to look and see what God has. And you need to do it. Because it's no good just us doing it. Because we're in it together, remember? We're winning the city together. We're taking people one by one. A man sends me a note from America about the great big giveaway. Keep winning Dublin, Nowell, and Liberty one person at a time. And every time someone throws something on us, shake that off. That's going to become your platform. We're going to dance on that. We're going to sing. That's going to be an elevation point to glorify God, because it's not us, but you need to do it. Shake it off. Shake off what that person said about you. Shake it off. Shake off the sin. Shake off the failure. Shake off the temptation. Shake off the guilt and shame. Shake it off today. I'm going to ask the guys to come back, because I'll play this out and lose its power. So when you do that song, shake it off, shake it off. That's a good one as well. Flow, is that flow? Ooh. Let's stand up. Oh yeah. For those who aren't 25 years in the Lord, shake it off, baby, now. Oh, Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word to us. Thank you, Father, for the next assignments. Thank you, Lord God. And we just say as Liberty Church, first of all, on the whole, that we're reporting for duty. That we shake off the good, the bad, the ugly of last year. And we use it as our platform to launch into this year, Lord. Lord, I say that as the leader of Liberty, as on behalf of the elders and the leaders of God. That we just shaking off last year, Lord, with all of its greatness and all of its whatever. And we're just saying, you're under our feet now, 2014. And we're launching into 2015. And we're believing that this year is a turnaround year for us, for our people, for individuals. We believe that every situation will be turned around for the glory of God. We believe, Lord, that you'll give us the steps and the principles and how to see that turnaround happen and manifest in this realm, oh God. Father God, I thank you, Lord God. Father God, for every person. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that we're here another year, Lord Jesus. I just thank you, Father, for what's in this year for us as a church, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for what's in this city for us, Lord God. I ask, Lord God, that we would have the best prayer week, Lord, this year. Lord, the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th, oh God. I pray, Lord, as we build up to it, Lord God, that we will, Father God, hear from you, Lord God, as we're in that quiet place, as we declutter and just go under the cloak, Lord, that we will hear from you for those prayer nights to prophesy, Lord, to declare, Lord, into the city, Lord, true Liberty Church, Father God. Father, I thank you, Lord God. I don't know whether I've told you this already, but I think it's Friday the 30th. Look at our Facebook page and like and share it. It's a prayer night of declaring over the city. We're going to set off alarm clocks at the city gates, and we're declaring and prophesying to the city, wake up. Wake up to the things of God, and then you'll hear more about that. But we've invited people from all over the nation to do that in their places at the exact same time. So all around the Isle of Ireland, we'll hear people. Someone says to me they're going to get a trumpet and do a trumpet blast in their city to say, wake up, sleepy nation, wake up to the things of God. I'm telling you, that's going to be a great night. That's going to have a reverb in the spiritual realm that will be as powerful as what Elijah done on that mountain. We thank you, Lord. We pray that we'd have the best fire conference ever, Father. Father, that a prophetic people would be released, Lord, into a prophetic nation, Lord, to release the workings of God's.